Welcome to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. I'm Stephen Spitz. Today we ask two interrelated questions. What's going on with the New Mexico economy, and what has been the impact of the federal Medicaid expansion? They are interrelated because, and this may surprise many, the main driver of New Mexico's job growth has been the federal Medicaid expansion. Here to fill us in on all this is UNM Research Professor of Economics, Dr. Lee Reynes. Dr. Lee Reynes, welcome to the program. I've been trying to get you on the show forever. Thanks for coming.
He is persistent. And it's my pleasure to be here, I think.
Lee, later in the show, I want to focus on the Medicaid expansion and its impact.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start with where the New Mexico economy is right now. What can you tell us about the New Mexico economy?
The New Mexico economy is observing slow growth in employment and economic activity overall compared to the kind of expansions that we've seen in the past, and also compared to many states that surround us, which I have had much more rapid growth over the past few years.
Yeah, I guess I would almost say very slow growth, because it looks like it's about 1%,
mm-hmm.
which is really slow.
Very slow.
Yeah, and it's also slower than the national economy.
Yes.
Much slower
than the
national.
It's been slower. We basically went through the Great Recession, which was devastating here as it was in many places, lost lots of jobs, probably over 50,000 here. And then we kind of moved sideways for a long time. So the fact that we are seeing growth now is encouraging. We see, and Albuquerque has actually been doing pretty well. Albuquerque's growth is a bit faster than the rest of the state right now. And there is a sense of vitality of things happening here. I would say that the Affordable Care Act and the Medicaid expansion are both major contributors to the growth that we've seen. We see fairly fast growth in a big sector called healthcare and social assistance. If you take that apart and you look at the stuff that's particularly related to health.
Yeah, but that's what I want to get to later. And what I guess
okay.
I'd like to do now is try to figure out why New Mexico isn't doing as well as surrounding states.
Okay.
And look at the possible explanations for that.
Okay.
Because none of them really make a lot of sense to me. Because, what I read in preparation for the show is, there was a housing bubble in New Mexico, and there was an oil bubble in New Mexico prior to the Great Recession. And that supposedly explains why now we aren't growing. But the whole nation had a housing bubble,
mm-hmm.
and oil has basically came back for a while in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't grab me as a very cogent explanation of why we're not doing well now. How does it grab you?
I think that, part of the explanation relates to our dependency on the federal government. There's no question about that. For historical reasons, have major facilities here like the National Laboratories. And from those facilities, those facilities get a lot of contract dollars from the federal government. Actually, if you look at our total dependence on government and on federal contract jobs, it's been estimated to be well over 30%. That's almost a third of our economy.
But interesting to me, when I looked at 2001 to 2007,
mm-hmm.
When New Mexico, for example, in 2007 had, a 2.6 growth rate.
Yes.
Which put it in the top 40%
yes.
of all states. Almost all those jobs, 90% of those jobs were private sector jobs. They weren't direct federal jobs, civilian or military.
I was careful to say government jobs, which would be direct government employment, federal,
yes.
state, or local, plus jobs that are supported by federal contracts.
Yes.
Okay. So that's, and I think that's an important distinction, because if you look at what's been happening, you can see the federal government has been shrinking, and it's been shrinking in its presence in New Mexico in terms of jobs.
It's been shrinking, but year over year, federal inflows of money.
Of money,
aside from Medicaid. Have been growing. I didn't do the numbers. I can't do the numbers. I'm not capable of it. But it looks like about 2% year over year, higher than the actual growth rate of our economy. So it doesn't seem to me like the federal inflows, aside from Medicaid, are actually inhibiting it. They may not be, you know, greatly supporting it, but I don't. That's the explanation. This is the explanation you hear over and over again, and I'm not really sure that's actually the case.
I think it's part of the deal. I really do. I think one of the problems that we have is that the federal government, which used to provide very good detail on its spending by category, stopped producing that detail and those reports in 2010. Well, this has been a fairly critical period between 2010
yes.
and 2015 for New Mexico. It is precisely the period in which New Mexico has been kind of moving sideways and not seeing growth. So I would say that the court is out in terms of what's happened with federal spending here and how that may have changed or may not have changed over time, and particularly since the Great Recession. We had a huge injection of federal dollars into the economy in 2010 in an effort to kind of stimulate. This was part of Obama's stimulus package. We are just seeing the end of that stimulus spending. It kind of dragged out for a number of years.
Okay. So one question I have is whether some of the lack of growth in New Mexico is self-inflicted wounds by policymakers. And let me give you an example of what comes to my mind. And the basic thing is what they call a 10% reserve, budget reserve. In other words, a 10% surplus. So if we have about a $6 billion budget, mm-hmm. we're taking $600 million out of the economy. We're only putting $300 million back in. So $300 million is not being spent. The other sort of self-inflicted wound, it seems to me, is not spending all the appropriated capital funds. So there's somewhere, depending on what you read, between $300 million and $800 million that's sitting there not being spent. So just to begin with, as an economics question, if you take money out of the economy and you don't put it back in, that's not stimulative, right? That's a drag on the economy. You're taking money out.
If you're taking out flows that were coming in from outside, yes.
But what if you're just taking it out through taxes?
Through taxes?
Yeah.
Well, it depends what happens to it. If you're taking it out through taxes and you're spending it, then, you know, you've got one entity spending versus another.
Right. But if you're taking out and not spending it, that's what I'm seeing in New Mexico.
I think
and that's both the legislature and the governor.
I think that historically we've probably been fairly conservative in terms of our fiscal policies, specifically in terms of our operating budgets and the general fund. Part of that tendency to be conservative is driven by the sources of our revenue. And so we have some vulnerability in terms of oil and gas. I mean, when it's good times, that you see a real surge in the revenues from those particular sources. But if you should, for some reason, and of course we've seen this over the past few months, if you should see the oil price kind of tank from where it was, that is going to affect the revenues that we have noticeably, since we've got so many revenue sources.
When I looked at most states, it was like a 5% surplus for a reserve. New Mexico is anywhere from 10 to 14%. I mean, it's a large, large surplus. When we're in desperate shape for demand, we have huge infrastructure needs, and we're setting aside all this money.
Well, I think we've done a couple things that I would find disturbing. One was that we critically need infrastructure, roads around the state. And there was an effort to put a tax on gasoline. Great time to do it. I mean, because people were experiencing already a windfall. Businesses were experiencing windfall in terms of their transportation expenditures. So the correct thing to do would have been to put a tax on gasoline, which is, and we have some of the lowest gasoline taxes among the states in New Mexico. This would have been a great time to do that. Fund your road needs with a user fee, which is effectively what a gasoline tax is. We didn't do that. Instead, what we decided to do was, and what the governor really wanted to do, was to go and tap the severance tax bonds for these kinds of projects. That's a in my opinion, that's a mistake. It's short-sighted and a mistake.
Okay, so let me mention, if you've just tuned in, this is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. My guest today is Lee Reynes. Lee is a research professor of economics at UNM. And Lee, I'd like to talk about some good news, because I've been the negative bearer of news. And the good news really is that the Medicaid expansion has been wonderful for New Mexico, wonderful for our citizens. It's been a real positive. And I just wonder if maybe we should start by just explaining what the federal Medicaid expansion is.
The Medicaid expansion was part of the Affordable Care Act, which was passed and would go into effect in 2014, beginning of 2014. And essentially what the Medicaid expansion did was it provided Medicaid for adults, specifically adults who otherwise would not be eligible, up to 138% of poverty.
So if you were a poor adult before, you weren't eligible.
With a poor adult before, if you had kids, you might be able to get something. There were some programs. There was a state coverage insurance program, which was funded through Medicaid that people could buy into. So there were some options, but they were kind of piecemeal and non-comprehensive. And so this was a really bold effort to bring a lot of people who were without coverage into a plan that would provide them coverage as adults.
So when I looked on, many people were surprised that our Republican governor went along with the Medicaid expansion. Most Republican governors didn't. And when I was looking on the internet, it looked to me like I saw a document from 2012 that you prepared, mm-hmm. which seemed to suggest that expanding Medicaid was a good thing economically for New Mexico and even for the general fund. And I'm just wondering, was that prepared in connection with this decision that the governor made?
It was certainly prepared in anticipation of the governor's need to make a decision on Medicaid, out of a real conviction that this would be a good thing for New Mexico. We had lots of people. We had, you know, probably the second highest, third highest rate of uninsurance in the country. The states were led by Texas on this.
You mean the states that declined it?
No. It's just that the rates of uninsurance were highest in Texas.
Yeah.
New Mexico.
We were close, right?
We were very close.
Right.
And we have, obviously, very high rate of poverty. We had actually the highest rate of poverty for kids in the most recent data that's available. So, you know, from a lot of perspectives, we needed to get more people covered for insurance. And this was a program that would do that with 100% flow of federal dollars for the first 3 years, and then tapering off to 90% in 2020, calendar 20. So this was a program that looked like a good deal for New Mexico. And in fact, I mean, the results are that we've seen our uninsurance rate drop dramatically, I think.
And many more people signed up, right? I mean, I think what I saw was like 60% more people signed up for the Medicaid than was even anticipated.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Because we ran, I ran the numbers on it, and the numbers, we did a low and a high take, a high scenario.
When you say we, was that you or the state that did that?
This was the Bureau.
The Bureau.
The Bureau of Business and Economic Research. I was director of the Bureau, and I took this on as a project that I thought was really important to do.
I see.
And we used a low and a high uptake scenario that had been prepared by economists at Human Services Department, because they're the ones who are kind of in the know about all of this. And indeed, the high uptake was, let's see, in 14, it was still, the high uptake was about 80% of those who actually showed up and signed up. In 15, it was like 63% of those. So many more people have become involved in the Medicaid expansion than was projected back in 2012.
And presumably that's a good thing, right?
I think it's a good thing. And I think part of it is that lots of people didn't know they were eligible for Medicaid. There was a mandate, remember, under the Affordable Care Act that you had to sign up for insurance.
Right.
So I think one of the things that happened is people went on to the exchange, tried to sign up for insurance, and lo and behold, they discovered that they were eligible for Medicaid.
They could get it for free.
Yeah, exactly.
which is a better deal.
Yeah. I mean, so I think that happened. But at any rate, we ended up with a lot more people involved in this program than had been projected.
And the sort of end result of all this is a huge sum of money. When I looked at, again, something I think you prepared, which showed that in 2015, this year, the federal government inflow, because of the Medicaid expansion, is going to be net $1 billion into New Mexico. I mean, that's an astounding amount of money.
It is an astounding amount of money. Can you imagine managing that whole program?
Yeah. It's. And I guess one question I've always had about this is, we had a doc shortage and a healthcare shortage before Obamacare.
Yes.
Now comes Obamacare, which is, you know, subsidies for health insurance, and we also have the Medicaid expansion. Are we actually getting new patients in to see doctors, and are we just replacing or pushing out other people? In other words, is there actually a net additional benefit to people and to doctors and to hospitals? But before you answer that question, let me just mention that this is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. My name is Stephen Spitz, and I'm very pleased to have on the show Professor Dr. Lee Reynes. Dr. Reynes is a research professor of economics, the former director of the UNM Bureau of Economic Research. So what do you think? Do you think there's actually an expansion? I mean, are there more docs coming in, or how are they able to see more patients if there aren't more docs?
I think it's a problem. I think we thought back in 2012 when we did the initial analysis that there would be a difficulty in providing the kind of capacity that would be required to meet the demands which would show up. There were problems in Massachusetts when they implemented
their
Romney Care. So it was not unreasonable as a state which has a number of counties that are, well, virtually the whole state is underserved in terms of physicians, primary care providers, in terms of surgeons, in terms of dentists, in terms of mental health providers. So, we are officially shortage areas across the state.
So when you or the Bureau really estimates that there's 6,000 more jobs created by reason of the Medicaid expansion, are you talking about more doctors, more nurses, more? Who are you talking about?
It's the whole range of providers that would be of healthcare workers and people who would help run offices and hospitals. So it's a range of people. It's not necessarily, they're not all medical people.
I mean, you've got kind of a graph, and you say In terms of the growth, 34% ambulatory, which I guess are people that can walk in and walk out of.
Those are folks who would go to see physicians and dentists there, and that would also be labs.
So that, there's a 34% growth in the people
who
do that?
No, this is the breakdown. This is what I tried to do is to, in order to do an analysis, I took total health spending and I tried to decompose it into total health care spending for this group and tried to decompose it.
So total health care or total Medicaid?
Well, I was trying to do it for Medicaid.
Okay.
And so this is my estimate of how much would go out to these different types of providers.
I see. So then when you get to the total of 6,000, was there inflow of people into New Mexico to cover these jobs?
I think there was inflow and outflow.
I see.
And the long and the short of it is if I look at who do we record as people within healthcare, within the healthcare services industry in New Mexico? In 2014, I see that, we see overall an increase of a little over 1,000 jobs in that industry and not the and this is, by the way, fiscal year 14. So it captures the first half of that Medicaid expansion. But we're short.
I see.
I mean, we're short of what my model would say we would have needed, which was more like 1,500 people. And if I look at 2015, fiscal year 15, and I only had three quarters at the time, and I look at the number of people who actually the increase in the industry over the prior year, it's, like 1,900 versus the 2,900 my model projected as needed. So we don't have the people that we need.
So we may not be creating the 6,000 jobs that your model predicts.
We may not be creating the models.
But one of the things that's kind of interesting to me is that if there's a call center that opens up and there's 200 jobs created, we hear about that on the news. We see it in the newspapers. Here's thousands of jobs being created, and we don't hear about it.
Right.
And I have a theory on this.
Okay.
And my theory is that this is sort of like drug money. It's tainted. And the idea is that federal money is tainted. And the reason is it addicts the state, it addicts the people in the state to taking federal money. And that's bad because then they won't engage in private enterprise. And so what we need to do, this is sort of how the argument goes, is sort of lay off federal money and then we'll actually be better, economically better off. Does that make sense to, first of all,
as an economist? No.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. I mean, this is a program which has, basically paid for itself. So I think what we're doing is we're moving to a better situation. One of the reasons why we historically have not attracted.
So what doesn't make sense to you is that somehow a state or actors in the state become addicted to federal money and somehow don't act in their economic self-interest. That's what doesn't make sense to you, right? You want me to do that again?
You've got me tied up in some logic. Let me give you my own logic on this. One of the things that I hoped for with the Medicaid expansion, I wanted to see a reduction in the rate of uninsured, but I also saw it as the best hope that we had to actually build up our medical providers and our healthcare industry. Because before we had a lot of care that was uncompensated care.
Right.
And so what we needed was an injection of money into the state that would then attract the providers and see the development of facilities that were so much needed by this population.
So, and right now, when we talk about jobs, or we talk about the injection of federal money that creates jobs, we're only talking about the direct effect. But isn't there a multiplier effect that also would generate jobs from this $1 billion that's coming into New Mexico?
I'm sure there is. But one of the disconcerting things was that I couldn't get the direct effects. I couldn't even find the number of people that I thought were going to show up directly because there weren't sufficient providers.
So let me give you another example of where I think self-inflicted wounds by policymakers, because there's another part of Medicaid that provides Medicaid dollars for home visiting for prenatal to three-year-olds. The LFC has been pushing for this for years, says that's a great program, that we should be doing it. There seems to be an ideological objection to it, again, from the state. Again, on this theory that, you know, we shouldn't be accepting more federal money. It's bad for us. It's tainted. It leads us in the wrong direction. And so but the only question for you is, is there any economic sense to that argument?
No.
No.
Well, there might be some, but I mean, basically, for that particular program, you know, here we are, a state that has child poverty, the very highest rate in the country. Here we are, a state that when you look at the educational scores for our kids on national assessments, we are completely at the bottom. Maybe there's another state. Maybe Mississippi will save us yet again and we'll be at the bottom. And I've watched those scores carefully over the years because that's, you know, we're looking at third graders, which is kind of a critical period. Do they know how to read? Do they have the basic math skills, et cetera, to go on and get more education? And they look, and then you can look at them in eighth grade, which is right before they go into high school. And similarly, abysmal scores for New Mexico students. You look at dropout rates in New Mexico. I mean, I basically think we failed our kids in this state.
And we start by failing them right to begin with.
And we start, you know, I mean, I think that you have to start even before kids are born. Moms need really good prenatal care. That's incredibly important. But then I think we need to intervene and give our kids the best chance that they can. And I think the home visitation program happens to be, it's documented in state after state, in program after program, that that's an incredibly valuable program. If you have, you know, you have to have a real program. You have to have people who are trained and knowledgeable in how to go into a home and how to work with a family and how to help mom and how to assess kids and make sure that they don't have some developmental disabilities or something that might otherwise not be caught.
Well, I'm sorry to say, Lee, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you so much for finally coming on my show. I would also like to thank my producer, Jefferson White. The executive producer of this show is Lynn Shebeki. My name is Stephen Spitz, and you've been listening to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas on KUNM. Podcasts of my show are available at iTunes. Search Stephen Spitz. Archives of my past shows are available at stephenspitz.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.